We continue the Shir, Rabbeinu Zal, Shir and Shvachei Hanan. We are still discussing Rabbeinu Zal's efforts during his youth to climb the greatest heights possible, to reach a madrega, that means a level that would equal and surpass any previous living tzaddik. This effort all took place during Rabbeinu Zal's youth, while he was literally a child, the age of 6 to the age of 13. Rabbeinu Zal now spoke about how he destroyed every evil characteristic that exists in a person and all bad desires. He spoke about the other details in the previous shiurim. Now the item of Taivas Achila. Taivas Achila, the third of the three major taivas, desire for food, something which exists, is prevalent in most people, and is obvious, can be seen in most people. Rabbeinu Zal strived to break this taiva completely. He worked very hard on it, and did so by slowly decreasing his intake of food. As time would go by, week after week, he would eat less and less. Aside from the series of fast days that he took upon himself, fast days and fast weeks. He spoke about times that he fasted from Saturday night until Friday evening. But even when he ate, not during his fast days, he would eat very little and then decrease that to a point where it was practically impossible for life to be sustained. Because the one thing that keeps the body and soul together is food. Now, Rabbeinu Zal relates that as he did this to break his taiva desire for food. But as he decreased the amount of food, he would find that he would have the same amount of taiva, the same amount of desire, concentrated in this lesser amount of food. So if he ate an ounce of food, he would have the same desire for that ounce as he had previously for 2 ounces or a pound. As he kept on going down, he kept on working and breaking this desire. And by swallowing his food without chewing it, so his taste buds should not feel any pleasure from it, until he was zeche to completely break this taiva, where he had no longer any taiva at all, and he ate with difficulty now. He felt no pleasure in eating. The bit that he ate, he forced himself to eat. There was no further desire for food. This was one item, which of course was unusual, even for a big tzaddik. To go a step further, Rabbeinu Zal tells that a person means of course a tzaddik of the highest madrega, tzaddik emes, can reach a point where through the speaking of Lashon Kodesh means holy words, that means tefillah, davening and learning, especially through tefillah with kavona, his spedidus, davening and putting his whole heart and soul into it, he purifies himself so much, he purifies the letters of the words that he says to such an extent, he could reach a degree of knowing, understanding the secret of creation. Everything that was created has a name in Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh. So one who knows, one who understands in depth, could look at an item or just see the letters of an item, for example, the word Ari. Ari is a lion. A person who knows could see the letters Ari and nothing else, never having seen a lion in his life, just by the combination of these letters, he could know the entire nature, build-up, and looks, appearance of a lion. Because he can see all this in the letters themselves. A person who is that great could see the word Adam. Adam means a person. It means a person, one individual. And yet for this word Adam, he could tell every single individual in the entire world. This, of course, is something that's far beyond our conception. But this is possible. This does exist. This did exist. Rabbeinu Zal, of course, was one who was able to reach this madrega. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal tells that it is possible for a person to eat food or to understand the makeup of food, the ingredients of food. When you have any type of food, it's not made up of the ingredients, the chemical ingredients, but it's made up of letters. so that one who understands this secret about the makeup of the letters could know in the word itself exactly what the taste of this food is, what it feels like and what it tastes like. Because, for example, certain letters stand for soft or hard or sweet or bitter, salty. By the words themselves, he could tell what the taste of that food is. Therefore, that's one bit of knowledge. Greater than that is a person who, when he eats food, does not eat the food itself, but eats the basic, the foundation of the food, the makeup of that food, eating the actual lettuce. Now, it's interesting to note, of course, Amenazal brings us from a pasuk, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh, Ezrecha Mikodesh, your help, which means your sustenance, your nourishment, comes from Kodesh, from Lashon Kodesh, from the holy words, will be Tzion Yisodeka. Tzion means the form of the letters. The pictures of the letters, Yisodeka, he will support you, just as bread does. Bread is to support the staff of life. A person can have this support from the Tzion, the form of these letters. Now, there is a story that Rabbi Nazar once told, and interestingly or disappointingly, Benazel said this story is so great, so holy, and so deep that he issued an Iser. He forbade this story ever to be told, in public or in private. It was told only to a few people, it was written down, and this record was kept a secret. Now, therefore, it is impossible for me to tell this story, having been fortunate to see it once. It was done, frankly, this record, this document was stolen once, and there was a long discussion about the legality of stealing it. Of course, it was proven to be legal. It was stolen, but the same decree, still, the same prohibition rests upon it. It cannot be repeated. I can only tell what the point of the story is, and to bring out a point which I believe may be told. The story itself revolves around one who witnessed an individual eating a meal. When he came close, he saw this person was eating letters, Hebrew letters. Now, of course, the details of that story cannot be told, but what we do say about it is that obviously, very obviously, since there exists a person who can tell about the story, it must be only the person who is that great himself, who could perform this act. But the Menazel naturally is the one who reached this point of being able to understand in depth the makeup of the letters, that which actually created this food. They can actually have nourishment from the letters themselves. This was one of the facets of Rabbi Nazal's greatness, and of course, you will very rarely ever hear about this from any other tzaddik in existence. Now, to go further, another one of the important characteristics, evil one, that Rabbi Nazal destroyed, was one that exists in every person. That is, the worst of all, is gaiva. Gaiva means conceit, immodesty, where a person feels himself as being superior to all people or to any people. This gaiva is what the Gemara says is Aveda Zora. We said once that a person who becomes angry, loses his temper, it is as though he worships an idol. He's worshiping the idol of his temper. Gaiva is even worse, because gaiva means that he himself is an idol. Lo yihye b'cho keil zor, there shall not be within you an idol. What is meant by within you? Within you means the person himself becomes a bal gaiva. The person himself becomes an idol, becomes he is his own lord. And this is the worst possible characteristic midah that exists. And therefore the Gemara says that all bad characteristics should be destroyed to a degree. And everyone can be of use. Any type of evil can be of use. For instance, even the characteristic of kais, anger, could be useful sometimes. A person needs to show a little bit of anger at children, or at students, to put them in line. We had more of that displayed today in schools, we'd have much more discipline. However, the Gemara says, one thing that a person should possess none of is gaiva. The Rambam says that of all these characteristics, a person should try to take the middle path, not to be too tight, too miserly, not to be too much of a spendthrift. Go take the middle path. Not to be too kind, not to be too harsh. When it comes to gaiva, he says the only path is destroy it completely. Have only humbleness. And this, of course, is very difficult. Abinazel stated that he was able to destroy this gaiva, this conceit, to the very last iota. And of this, Abinazel stated proudly, he had reached this point where he had destroyed every bit of gaiva. He was the most humble person on earth. A very strange statement. If a person says about himself, I am the most humble person on earth, isn't that a full of conceit? Abinazel said it's very wrong. It is not. Because we find that the peak, the highest degree of anivus, modesty, humbleness, is when a person reaches the point where he can say about himself, I am the most humble person on earth, without feeling any conceit whatsoever. We find proof, Abinazel brought proof from two others. The Tanya says, the Tanya was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem dictated and he wrote. He wrote about himself, V'ho'ish Moshe unav mi'od mikol ho'odom, ashal p'nei ha'adomah. By himself, he stated, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most modest, the most humble person of all people that ever lived on this earth. To say it about himself and still not feel any sense of haughtiness, that is the greatest degree of anivus, modesty possible. Also, we find in the Gemara, one of the rabbis of the Gemara, Rav Yosef. The Gemara says, the last of the true humble people was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the one who composed the six Gemaras, the six Siddur Mishnayos. And when he passed away, the Gemara says that was the end of humbleness, because afterwards no one could reach his degree of humbleness. Rav Yosef, a later rabbi, said, we must amend this statement. This statement is wrong, we must erase it. Why? Because I am still here. And if I am here, we still have the same degree of humbleness in existence. He could say that about himself and still retain the true degree of anivus. This is what Abinazel said. And he had reached this point where he could say it about himself and still be truly that humble. Of course, this is the greatest weapon against the true evil, against the greatest tumor possible. The Yetzirah, who is the Satan, who is the Moloch HaMavis, has one special name. He is called, as an angel, he is called the Samach Mem. The Samach Mem means the angel of poison, the angel of death, spiritual death. If a person wants to destroy this Samach Mem, wants to battle against him and destroy him, he must have something that is of equal power. Anava, modesty, is exactly the same equal power against the Samach Mem, because Anava begimatri is Samach Mem. A person has true Anava, he can then destroy this angel of evil, only with this Anava. If he has any gaiva at all, he becomes a victim to the Samach Mem, to this Satan, this Yetzirah. So, Abinazel said that with this, he still was not satisfied. He wanted to destroy everything physical. He wanted to live a life of pure spiritual experience in this world, just as he would in the future world. And this meant undertaking, taking upon himself sigufim, that means inflicting self-torture. They might call that a masochist today, and yet of course we say lahavdil between one type of tumah, of evil, against something that is purity. The tzaddik takes upon himself all types of self-inflicted tortures to purify his physical being. The accomplishment is that his body becomes just as spiritual and holy as his soul. This is one thing we cannot emulate. We cannot copy this. We state it only as an act by Abinazel. It's not for us to try to copy. Abinazel spoke about his self-inflicted tortures. For example, one that is known, the rolling in snow during the winter. Unclothed to roll in ice and snow, this is a torture that is one of the greatest possible tortures out. And many other types of torture, Wiedersel stated, though, testify to the fact that the worst possible torture is when a person has on himself, on his body, on his face and body, insects that bite, mosquitoes, other types of insects, bees, and stands perfectly still, does not move one iota while he is bitten by these insects. This means that the entire feeling must be restricted and confined to the mind, because he cannot move any organ, a hand or a leg or anything. That means he must suffer it all within the mind. But this, of course, is something that, as we said, at first it sounds like a horrible undertaking. And we must, of course, state, not to leave this point hidden, the truth is that this is done as a kapara, to forgive for sins. Why is this self-inflicted torture taken upon oneself by a tzaddik? Not because he wants to suffer, not because there's a special meaning to suffering, but because yisurim, suffering, erases sins. Just as in Olam Haba, a person goes to Gehenna and there suffers to pay punishment for sins, a person here too can have this suffering. Instead, yisurim, a person that is sick or has any types of worries, calamities, this erases his sins. A tzaddik is willing, because of his ahavas Yisrael, his love for Jews, to take upon himself the suffering for all other Jews, to pay for their sins. This is a true devotion to the Jewish people. Rabbeinu said that, finally, he was able to completely remove from himself any type of physical desire, any type of evil characteristic, and come out perfectly pure. Now this is the final point, the story of Menzel's life in his youth. Menzel said the reason this is being told is to teach us that every person, no matter who it is, can reach this same level. What does it take? It takes effort. It takes self-sacrifice. It means depriving oneself of the certain pleasures, physical pleasures in life, and then to thereby increase the holiness of his neshama and to rise up in stature. The difference between a tzaddik and a person who is ordinary is that the tzaddik had less pleasures in life and spent more time and more effort in kedusha than the ordinary person. What is his reward? Aside from the fact that he gets reward later on in heaven, Gan Eden, eternally, he also is rewarded by the fact that during his lifetime, he is closer to Hashem. And this means not just playing close. It means that a tzaddik can rise during his lifetime to a point that is greater than another person can rise after he passes away. When a person dies, his neshama goes to heaven, he is good, he goes to Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a type of experience that is indescribable. It is better than anything that can be imagined on earth. A tzaddik during his lifetime can actually visit heaven, visit Gan Eden, visit the upper heavens, the yeshiva that is found in heaven, the many yeshivas there, during his actual stay on earth. So that, how is that accomplished? Because he has purified himself so, physically, he is as pure as spiritually. The Menzel stated that, how did he get to this point? Through the fact that he worked upon himself and strove through intense study, intense tefillah, intense prayer, and spent the time that others would waste, he spent it on Kedusha. It is not because of the fact that he was born with a holy neshama, his soul was holier than others. There's no relation to this, to his meteoric rise in Kedusha. Every person, no matter where he is born or how he is born, a person can be born from the worst parents, a person can be born from Terach, the worst idol worshiper, he can become an Avraham Avinu. So it's not where you're born or who you are when you're born. It is only depending upon the type of work, the amount that you put into and elevating yourself and serving Hashem. A person's mission in life is to strive to get closer and closer to Hashem. Meidenov said, of all the things he did, of all the sacrifices he made, the one key that helped him to rise to his greatest height was the one word, his hispidus. It was not the fact that he fasted so much. It was not the fact that he struggled. The fact that he deprived himself, or the fact that he suffered so much, those, of course, helped a lot. The main key was his hispidus. That means simply closet yourself in a room and speak openly and frankly to Hashem. Speak to Hashem as you would to the closest friend you have. Hashem was always ready to listen to you. And pour out your heart and ask Hashem to fulfill or to complete that which you are lacking. Above all, the main prayer is, Hashem, karveinu l'avodasecha, bring us closer to you. Bring us closer because we want to really serve you. The very famous statement of the Gemara, that it's Sanenu Lasis Itzainecha. Hashem, the truth is that we are not spiteful. We don't commit sins because we dislike the Torah or want to go against Hashem. It's only the Soya Sheba Isa. It's the Yetzirah we have, the evil desire, which we are too weak to overcome. And therefore, Hashem, we invoke your blessings and your assistance. Help us to overcome this Yetzirah. Help to bring us much closer to you. And with that type of tefillah, constantly, a person can be assured of purifying himself and rising to greater heights. However, one final statement, Bialy Kutum says, that a person today who would take this whole story and begin to act out every single item, start from the beginning and do exactly what the Benazal did, if it was possible. We've yet to see a person who would even attempt, think of attempting it. A person would do all this, he still could not reach the elevation that the Benazal reached, because he would never have that intensity in serving as the Benazal did, who was motivated purely by his desire to serve Hashem properly. Not because of an envy, not because he wanted to get reward to reach any special heights. He only wanted to serve his Creator Hashem in purity and completely. And therefore he reached this point, becoming the Tzaddik Emes. It is supposed to be kept partially a secret, and yet it's difficult to do so, to describe the greatness of Rabbeinu Zal, what Madrega he reached to. We know there are great tzaddikim in the past. When we say that Rabbeinu Zal is the tzaddik emes, this is meant literally. Rabbeinu Zal is the tzaddik emes, which means that there were no tzaddikim in the past after Moshe Rabbeinu who reached the Madrega that was that high meaning the 50th degree of wisdom. 50 degrees of Bina, no one reached that 50th degree after Moshe Rabbeinu. The only one to accomplish that was Rabbeinu Zal, and therefore in what is in a name, of course there are many who had that same name, but Rabbeinu Zal made that name materialize to a reality. Rabbeinu Zal's name is Rabbi Nachman Zal. Rabbi Nachman is the letters Moach Nun. The Moach means the mind, or the Shama that's in the mind. Spiritually, Nun means 50, the 50th degree of Bina, the highest possible point that a human being can reach. This was the greatness of Rabbeinu Zal, and therefore, all the stories that are told about past tzaddikim in the Gemara, or later tzaddikim, the Bali Kabbalah, the time of Rabbeinu Zal, all those were passed by Rabbeinu Zal. Reached their Madrega and more than that, further. And proof, of course, we say again, is the fact that if one tells stories about the powers of a tzaddik, and he is unique in that story, no one else has been able to tell that story, it's only because he himself has reached that Madrega, that degree. Rabbeinu Zal told the story of the seven betlers, the most important story he ever related. And in this story, he tells about these seven tzaddikim, each one with an unusual power, unusual degree of purity, higher than all other tzaddikim on earth. One with the purest eyes on earth, one with the purest ears, the other powers of perception, the Kedusha. And obviously, those seven were really one. The Benazal was that one tzaddik to possess these seven qualities. So this, when we speak about the Benazal, his greatness, we know that the only possible description is silence. Lo tumiyasila. If we speak about his greatness, we can only minimize it, we can only spoil the truth, because whatever we say is insufficient. What we do say, and with very strong conviction, Ashrei, blessed, fortunate are those who have true emunah in Rabbeinu Zal, and what they can derive from this hiskashus, this closeness to Rabbeinu Zal. Ashrei to those who have reached the highest possible tzaddik emes, and what Rabbeinu Zal can in turn do for them, do for us, if we have this emunah and if we follow his advice. The next part of the story, after the description of his lifetime, which all took place until the age of 13, Rabbeinu Zal later on kept on rising higher and higher, never stopping. It was Rabbeinu Zal's policy that if he reached a certain madrega, a certain new level in understanding, in Kedusha, he reached a new heaven, he would strive to go higher, because he knew that Hashem is Ein Sof, Hashem is infinite, there must be still higher levels to be reached. So Rabbeinu Zal, during his entire lifetime, never for a moment stood on the same madrega. He kept on going higher and higher, not like others think of reach certain madrega, they remained there. So reaching that highest madrega possible for the moment did not satisfy Rabbeinu Zal. Now, for example, during his 20s, he reached the point where he was able to tell about something that exists in heaven. We daven to alleviate our suffering, whether it's physical or spiritual. If we have any kind of suffering means either sickness or financial worries or family problems, or the second kind of suffering is spiritual. We are attacked by our Yetzirah. We find ourselves very weak in fulfilling the mitzvahs. So this comes from an attack from which is known as din. In heaven there is din. There is chesed, kindness, and din, harshness. In heaven there is din sent down, the form of this type of yisurim, suffering, and it's up to us to daven to Hashem to remove this gezerah, this decree of harshness. Now this din, there are courts, heavenly courts, which these dinim come forth, they emanate. We have the names of Hashem. Basically, we have Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. It's Hashem, meaning Chesed. We have, the second is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, the name we pronounce. That means Din. So kindness comes from one name. That's the highest name of Hashem. And then, that's called the Chachma. Then we have Malchus. The Malchus, the lowest of the ten spheros, is the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. The Zohar Kodesh says that therefore we have a statement in the Gemara which says that a Jew must always obey the law of the land. That's what it means literally. The wording is Dina de Malchusa Dina. The law of the Malchus, the kingdom, is a din which you must follow. The Zohar Kodesh says this means that dinim come from the Malchus, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Dinim come from Malchus, which is Dino. Dino is four letters, Dalet Yud Nun Al, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. All Dinim come from this Malchus, the Shem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Now, it would mean, therefore, it would seem that there is a heavenly court which issues these decrees, this name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Benazar reveals that actually there are Chof Dalet Sinufei Adme, 24 combinations of this name. Any word that has four letters could have 24 different combinations. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, then Aleph, Dalet, Yud, Nun, and so forth. Change the letters around in 24 different ways exactly. Which means then that there are 24 combinations of this name, resulting in 24, but they didn't, 24 heavenly courts in which these decrees come from. Now, when a person davens to remove this decree, there's illness or there's other kind of suffering or spiritual suffering, he davens to heaven and prays that his message is sent to this court. The request is made that the din be revoked and be nullified. But it could happen that even if a tzaddik is great enough to have his tefillah reached directly to the heavenly court, it could be that it got to the wrong one of these 24 heavenly courts, because this tzaddik has reached a madrega, a level where he's able to enter into one of these 24 courts. Or a bigger tzaddik knows two of these courts. Imagine that, how far that is, to be able to reach this point in heaven and know where to go, right to the court, right to this, to that judgment place, and have the power to insist and to receive acquiescence that the did be nullified. Even a tzaddik who is that great could reach one or two courts, or three or five. No one but the tzaddik emes has power to reach every one of these 24 courts. There is only one person, the one tzaddik emes, who does have this power. In any given generation, no matter when it happened, there was always one tzaddik emes at a time who could reach every one of these 24, but they didn't. Abinazal, in his 20s, had reached this madrega, which proved conclusively that Abinazal was the tzaddik emes at the time. Do we have to go any further than that? This was very conclusive. He was the tzaddik emes, the holiest tzaddik alive. This was in an era of most of the famous names in history. The Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh, who were all so great, and among all those contemporaries, Abinazal was the one tzaddik emes. And yet, at that time, Abinazal said, "I am not satisfied. I must keep going higher and higher." Abinazal said, "I know that there is one key to striving, to reaching a level that is far above and beyond anything I've gotten to so far. And that is to perform the mitzvah, the zechus, of walking on the sacred soil of Eretz Yisrael, to reach Eretz Yisrael. This is something which the greatest tzaddikim strove for, attempted, and most of them failed. One of the most famous one was the Baal Shem HaKadosh, who tried during his lifetime to reach Eretz Yisrael. He was willing to give his life for it, just to get to there and take the four steps in Eretz Yisrael. He tried, he did not succeed. To go back further, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, cried to Hashem, cried, implored, beseeched, poured out 515 tefillos, prayers, with every type of argument possible, to Hashem, allow me to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And these were all turned down. He was forced to remain in Eber HaYarden. Now, being the tzaddik emes, this meant always that the satan realized the danger of having the tzaddik emes get to Eretz Yisrael. What was the secret of Moshe Rabbeinu not getting there? Why was he not zecha? His arguments were so powerful, he said to Hashem, If, let us say, I committed a sin, of course there was no sin committed, if, let us say, as the impression by the layman, that there was, Chas V'Shalom, a sin committed, so what if there was a sin committed? Hashem himself gave us the key to remove sins, the key of tshuva, repentance. A Jew repents very simply, and it's erased. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, I'm willing to repent with as much power as all Jews combined. If I committed a sin, I hereby repent with every power vested in me to have that so-called sin erased. Not only that, but to bring all the powers of tefillah combined into this request. 515 is the gematria of the word tefillah, and every bit, every iota of tefillah is brought into this to be zecher to get to Eretz Yisrael. Despite all this, and much more, the request was turned down. Why? The answer is the same reason that we find later on other tzaddikim cannot get there. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gotten to Eretz Yisrael, the combination of Moshe Rabbeinu and the holiness of Eretz Yisrael had been so great that it would have destroyed every last trace of evil on earth. It would have wiped out the angel of death, the Satan, the Yitzhahara, there'd be no more serving Hashem. It would have been just like in Gan Eden, no more test, no more having to fulfill mitzvahs with a battle against the Yitzhahara. This is not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wants the Jews, every individual Jew, to serve Hashem individually, to work hard. Of course, it means that some Jews will fall victim to their desires. They will turn away from mitzvahs, away from religion, but it's worth it to have the other Jews who will succeed. If the Tzaddik Emes would have gotten that Yisrael, would have stopped all this, and all Jews would have been like angels in worshiping Hashem. Therefore, he cannot get there. What is there about the getting that Yisrael? We find in the time of Baal Shem HaKadosh, there exists two great lights, two great lanterns. Just as originally there were the sun and the moon, two great lanterns in heaven, they're called Me'ides. There is a Moed HaGodel, the great, the large lantern, the large light. Moed HaKotan, a small light. The Moed HaGodel stands for the light of the Torah, the Eid Torah. Moed HaKotan stands for the small light of Tefillah. This is Yaakov and Rachel, in a sense. Leah and Rachel, to also, by Leah and Rachel, the two sisters, the large and small light. And this is, if these two were united, if these two would get together, it would bring Mashiach, and it would be the end of all evil in existence. Now, in the time of Baal Shem Tov, the Moed HaGodel was in Eretz Yisrael. Those who were there in Yerushalayim know about the Tzion of the Oed HaChaim HaKadosh, was called the Moed HaGodel at that time. The Moed HaKotan, the small light, was the Baal Shem Tov, who was in Chutz Loretz. He was aware of this. He could bring Mashiach by traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And so he set out on this mission, knowing that he would have to do battle against all the heavenly forces of Tumah, all the Klipas, the Satan, the evil angel with all his assistants. When he got to Istanbul, they're ready to set sail for Eretz Yisrael. The Satan began to wield all his heavenly powers to stop the Baal Shem Tov. Result was, very briefly, that Baal Shem Tov was given an ultimatum. Either he give up his trip, his journey, return to his home, or two things would happen. He would lose all his mental powers, his greatness, and his daughter would die. His daughter Odal was a special pure prophetess, very holy in her own sense. In fact, she was called Odal because she stood for Torah. Eish das lomai shetavis Odal. This daughter would die if he intended to reach Eretz Yisrael. This was the ultimatum given to him, and he could not get himself to sacrifice his daughter's life. But his daughter stated, "I'm willing to die to have you reach Eretz Yisrael." So he waited. She started to walk towards, this was on a boat, started to walk towards the edge of the boat, like walking the plank. She stopped suddenly and came back. She said to the Baal Shem HaKadosh, "I have just had a vision, a future vision. And you now have a new choice. If I die, you get there, right? It'll be a big victory. But if I live, there is going to be born from me a tzaddik will be greater than you. A new light that will bring a light forever and ever until Mashiach's coming and afterwards. This new type of light, far superior to your own, may be worth surrendering this journey." Baal Shem HaKadosh agreed, and her prophecy came true, because the journey was fulfilled later on through this new light, Baal Shem HaKadosh's grandson, great-grandson, Abedu Zal, born from Adel's daughter, Fega, Rabbi Nachman ben Fega, Zal, and he did reach Eretz Yisrael. Abedu Zal understood this point, that he himself could reach a new level, a new height, by getting to Eretz Yisrael, which would put to shame anything he had until then. Abedu Zal testified to the fact that when he got to Eretz Yisrael, the moment he stepped on shore, this of course was after a long journey, a trip of trials, tribulations, and suffering that in itself make up a whole story, a novel about the story of his trip there and return, with also the same type of suffering and risks, hazards that could have taken his life too. That itself is a separate story which will take up the detail following this. But Beit Israel stayed. When he got to Eretz Yisrael, by just stepping on the shore of Eretz Yisrael, going 4 steps there, he had accomplished already with that one move more than he had in his previous life combined. So that when he got there, he now was actually ashamed of what he had accomplished till then. And he stated this, that the Torah he had written, all these Sforim he had written, until then, should be completely obliterated. He was ashamed of that Torah he wrote. Now that was the writings of the one Tzaddik Emes in the generation who knew the 24 Batidim in heaven. Yet that itself was so low compared to his new Madrega, that he said, erase all those, I'm going to write new ones that will put those to shame. So we have today the Likute Maharan, the Beit Israel Sefer, which consists of all the new Tanis he wrote, all that were written after he got there, so except for a few passages in the middle, but aside from that, the entire Sefer is a much higher level that he wrote after his arrival, his return from Eretz Yisrael. So this is the Beit Israel said is the main step that he experienced in life. His greatest joy is that he was zecher to get to Eretz Yisrael while others could not. By doing this, he assured that we today would profit by it. We profit today because we now have Rabbein Azal's teachings after his return from Eretz Yisrael. We have the assurance that his fire, the fire of his words, will remain forever. Until Mashiach comes, that fire will illuminate our path before us. And that fire remains too after Mashiach comes, we will still have as our Rebbe. Of course, this depends again upon our emuna in the Tzaddik Emes. Beit Israel said too, this too is a very important, a very vital lesson. And this is something that should have deep implications for each person, each Jew. That no Jew today, no matter how great he is, can really complete himself to any degree unless he has experienced being in Eretz Yisrael. It is the duty of every single Jew alive to make every effort, make every sacrifice possible to get to Eretz Yisrael, even just to walk 4 steps and nothing else. Arrive there, walk 4 steps, go back, return home, he has accomplished his mission. Without that, a Jew is not a completed Jew. Maybe they use the word Ish HaYisraeli. Yisraeli means a Jew, but Yisraeli means one who has been to Eretz Yisrael. He is an Ish HaYisraeli. And of course, this entails a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifice, and financial sacrifice. Maybe they said, though, that because, as we will learn about his trip to Eretz Yisrael, because of the multitude of sufferings he underwent, the sacrifices he made, this was done for the sake of his Talmidim, his students, and future generations. For whatever time to come, whenever a Jew wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, then he will find that it will be much simpler due to the fact that Eretz Yisrael had already suffered for him. So if we go to Eretz Yisrael today, we'll find that the sacrifice is not so great, not so big. It means getting on a plane and traveling non-stop to Lod, the airport in Israel, getting off, you're there, without having to go through the turbulent seas, the pirates that are aboard those ships then, the real suffering where a person would have to become go into debt for life. All that is avoided today because Rabbi Israel has paved the way for us. The Erech Tzadikim Kerenega, path a Tzadik makes on Nesa Beyom Derech, who made this path only through the seas, the ocean, to get there to Israel. This path was created by the Beit Israel to enable us to get there much faster and much easier. But despite that, if we had all the money in the world, we had no problem. If we did not have the desire to go to Israel, we could not get there. So we have to have this extreme desire to get there to be zecher. Secondly, it is true that today people go there in droves, thousands, hundreds of thousands. Does that mean every person today goes there becomes a Tzaddik Emes? He goes there, he has fulfilled his mission, he's an Ish HaYisraeli? The answer is that you cannot go there as a tourist and expect to become a great Tzaddik. The difference between two people who go, one goes to see the sights and to do some shopping in Tel Aviv, but to live in a 4 or 5 star hotel, and that's the purpose of his trip, and of course to see the quaint places there, that is not going there for Kedusha. The reason a person should go is purely, truly for the sake of being zechut to the holy air, to the land which Hashem has designated as his land. Aratzeinu HaKadosha, our holy land, the land that Hashem has chosen and selected this world. This land is so holy that every bit of earth, every drop of dust there is worth more than all the real estate in the rest of the world. All. And just to walk on that sacred soil is a zechir that can complete a person if he goes with that kavana, that intention. Let's absorb this really and truly. Make it a resolve, a firm resolve that we should be zechut to go to Israel with that kedusha again and again, until finally we zechut to settle there forever with the coming of Mashiach. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's.